My treasured friends and companions, allow me to welcome you all to today's sermon. If any one of us were to sit and ponder on what we believe life is, we could spend an endless amount of time laboring over the intricacies or philosophies of long-dead prophets who truly believed in their hearts to have discovered the innate meanings behind reality. But regardless of their thoughts, most would agree that life itself has sprung out as a strange phenomenon from nothing more than our flesh and of our blood. In order to prolong our corporeal forms, almost all within the galaxy will be forced to eat and consume some form of nutrition in order to survive. But now, in the 41st millennium, we have discovered a rather horrendous failure in this routine. For the mechanical legions of the Necrons, they have ascended from their feeble bodies of flesh into perfected frames of living metal, which require naught in the way of food in order to endure the passing eons. However, there is an exception to this rule. Today we are to discuss the outcasted and exiled group known as the Flayed Ones. These are Necrons who, like their kin, awoke from their long slumber with intact bodies of necrodermis, but rather than emerging from their tombs with a healthy mind, they were afflicted by a horrifying and tainted curse. There lies within their corrupted neural circuits a deep, gnawing, and obsessive compulsion to seek out the warm flesh of the living species of the galaxy purely to feed upon them. The hunger which they feel is unlike any other within the stars. As for these unfortunate victims, they will never be able to sate their eternal appetites. We will first give a brief introduction to the undying race of the Necrons, with an exploration into a conflict which they engaged in with a specific star god, who became the sole reason as to why this curse exists. After this, we will explore the Flayed Ones in more detail, showcasing their nightmarish incursions upon the many worlds of the galaxy. As a final point, I will reveal to you the harrowing secrets and terrors to be found within a world which has been utterly overrun by the Flayers, and this would be known as the Bone Kingdom of Drazak. But without further ado, please steel your souls and keep a close eye on the dark shadows and corners of your chambers, for it is time for us to explore the frightful nature of the Necron Flayed Ones. In the bygone days of the galaxy, long before the earliest ancestors of mankind even stood upon two legs, the stars had been conquered by but one species, and it would be none other than the ancient and terrible Necrontyr. Their celestial domain stretched throughout the vast expanse of space. Although the might of the Empire was perhaps the only strength which their feeble race had attained. For you see, their bodies were shockingly weak, with the vast majority of their kin being forced to live out a sad and pathetic existence, sheltering themselves from the cosmic radiation of the void, lest it bring them low with its harsh, ionizing gaze. But this was not to be their fate for all of time. The Necrontyr had struck a bargain with the mysterious star gods known as the Catan to aid them in transferring their broken bodies of flesh into frames of impervious living metal. This would allow them to live eternally as perfected beings of mechanical glory, from where the thought of sickness or disease would simply be an inconceivable memory from their past, pathetic lives. It was during a conflict known as the War in Heaven where their species finally crossed this cybernetic threshold. For them, there was no other choice other than to take this monumental and irreversible decision, and so their entire society underwent a process which became known as the biotransference, where their old corporeal frames were discarded in favor of the strength of necrodermis. From here, The now immortal Necron species rose to a new height of prominence throughout the stars, where they were successful in purging their celestial domain from the taint of the stagnant old ones, allowing them to stand as the undisputed rulers of the void. It was only once the old ones had been defeated that the Necrons could now turn their attention to the ancient Catan. Though, yes, they had granted them with immortal frames of metal, during the process of the biotransference, these capricious star gods had devoured the very souls of the Necrontyr, leaving them with an innate sense of emptiness which could never be resolved. We will soon discuss this point in more detail, but for now, let us move past the war in heaven. Following on from the conclusion of this conflict, the Necrons, who now stood as an undying legion, unified by the sanctity of living metal, were given the order by their silent King Zarek to descend into a prolonged state of hibernation for the next 60 million years. This was because that even though they now ruled the galaxy, that it had become a most hostile and treacherous realm. The enigmatic Eldari, brutish Kroaks, and even the nightmarish enslavers had become an ever-present plague which threatened the integrity of the new Necron Empire. Thus, they would enter into their tomb worlds and wait out this tumultuous period, and only once the galaxy had once again reached a state of relative peace would they finally reawaken and reclaim their celestial dominance over the stars. Unfortunately, however, time is an unyielding and eternal force which ever marches forward, and it cares not for the technological gifts which one may have obtained. As the Necrons emerged from their tomb worlds, they found themselves burdened by a series of unforeseen consequences which drastically impacted a doomed subsect of their kin in a most unexpected way. In the waning days of the war in heaven, the silent king of the Necrons, known as Sharek, had become privy to the devastating truth which had befallen his people. The malevolent and deceitful star gods of the Catan had stolen away the souls of his species to be devoured, and it now seemed that their entire race had been wrangled under the yoke of their cosmic oppression. Desperately seeking freedom, they turned their great metallic war machine away from the barren worlds of the old ones and finally sought to once again grasp control of their own destinies. A long and terrible war of freedom raged throughout the galaxy, with the Catan being caught almost completely unawares of this upstart rebellion at the hands of the mechanical Necrons. Given the raw, unbridled power of these primordial beings, it soon became clear that their complete annihilation would be somewhat wasteful. Instead of simply slaying the treacherous figures, the Necrons instead chose to shatter their souls, capturing the stray essence which was left behind within vast tesseract vaults. From here, their limitless energies could be drawn from and used to power esoteric weapon systems or incorporated into tomb world technologies to further bolster the growing power of their species. With that being said, however, there was one Catan, named as Landugor the Flayer, who was destined to meet with a different fate. Legends say that during the final days of the Necrontyr, that it was Landugor who stood as an instrumental figure in overseeing the last stages of the biotransference, and so many saw him as being a figure who was culpable for reducing their species into the soulless husks which they now stood as. For this crime, the Silent King sent an order that he should be utterly and remorselessly destroyed, with his spirit being cast out into the void as naught but cosmic dust, lest his foul essence leave any form of taint upon their people. Little known to the Necrons, however, in an ironic twist of fate, the actions taken from this decree would eventually culminate in a detestable curse, which in the far future of the 41st millennium would only serve to push their kin further towards damnation. It fell to the members of the Mainark dynasty to carry out the grim task of obliterating the Flayer, and so they brought out every terrible, monolithic weapon which they had at their disposal to bear against Landu Gore. Utilizing the powers of a dying sun, they entrapped, contained, and eventually eradicated the abhorrent god. But rather tragically, this was not to be the end of his malign influence. In his dying moments, he unleashed a malefic curse upon the Necron species, which would forever taint and obstruct their lofty goal of attaining a pristine state of immortality for the rest of time. This curse, whilst initially overlooked, would go on to manifest itself as a condition known as the Flayer virus. Though in these early days it would not cause any symptoms, the stellar disease would embed itself deep within the neural circuits of its victims, lying in a dormant state until it finally erupted into life. For those who were afflicted, they would be doomed to live out their eternal lives with an insatiable hunger for flesh. And yet, as we all know, the Necrons cannot eat as you or I would. And so they would forever be destined to wander the stars, desperately seeking out a meal which would never sate their appetites. The curse would stand as a lasting grim reminder of the consequences of waging war against the gods. And it would endure as an everlasting stain upon their quest for an unending life. We will soon talk more of the virus itself, but as a final point, it is said that in the last moments of his death, the members of the Mainark dynasty heard within their cores the final screeching words of Landu Gore.
To those who have turned their faces away, those who are faithless and wretched in their jealousies, to those who have denied us, to those who have denied me, I will wreak vengeance. I will wrench your souls and break your bones. I will cast hunger through your accursed existence. Down the eons, you will not forget. I will grant you this gift from love turned aside and mold you into me, break you in my image as you have broken me. I shall cast the fear of myself into you and all of your kind. I am Landu Gore. I am the hunger. I am the flayer. And from this moment, you shall be too.
In their arrogance, the Necrons initially regarded these words as being nothing more than the desperate, dying calls of a god whose time amidst the stars had long since passed. But little did they know that his curse would carry with it a far-reaching and devastating legacy. It would be a malignity to forever prove to be a blight upon their species, and it was one which would cause the undoing of an untold number of unfortunate Necrons for endless eons to come. The sinister departing words of Landu Gore went unnoticed by the Necrons, who had become emboldened by hubris at having finally slayed one of the very gods who had corralled and ruled over their species. But it was only once their kind eventually awoke from their prolonged sleep and emerged from their tomb worlds that this curse finally manifested itself into existence. As the legions of Necrons were sparked back into wakefulness by the signals emitted from their crypts, many strode out just as they had all those years ago, with their frames and minds shining just as brightly as they had during the fabled days of the war in heaven. Quite sadly, though, there were many of their kin who quickly began to show concerning and worrying signs that their stasis chambers may have malfunctioned. It was not uncommon to find lowly chattel warriors whose engrammatic pathways were damaged during their hibernation, but this form of degradation was markedly different and far more sinister. In addition, it soon became clear that the symptoms being expressed by these forlorn individuals were not to be blamed on the stasis crypts, but rather they were simply victims who were cursed to succumb to the Flayer virus. At first, the Necron would slowly, then painfully begin displaying clear signs that they had sadly lost their minds. They were to be afflicted by a creeping madness, which would initially lead them to erroneously fail in following simple directives from their lords. Eventually, however, it would invariably progress to a stage where they would lose all major cerebral ability, falling as little more than maddened husks of the individuals who they once were. In the final days before their remaining neural capacity inevitably left them, the afflicted Necrons would be found strewn about the tomb complex, scratching at the walls, where they would chant and repeat but one simple phrase: "I am Landugor." At this point, it would be far too late to save them. They will have degenerated from mighty, eternal Necrons into becoming creatures known as Flayed Ones. They would live as mindless servants to a long-dead god who only ever sought to inflict pain and harrowed suffering on this species, and it seemed that he had been ultimately successful in this singular goal. In truth, even if caught at an early stage of its progression, none who are afflicted with the Flayer virus have ever had their symptoms reversed. And it now seems that this curse will lead to an invariable fate of falling as a Flayed One. As I previously stated, the victims of this curse will be filled with a truly unquenchable hunger, and so their every action and pursuit will be taken purely with the goal of finding hot, bloody flesh to feast upon. As some of you may have guessed, however, since the Necrons are constructs of metal, they do not possess the ability to digest and absorb the food which they so desperately seek. As such, they are left in a state of perpetual, ravenous fury, where they will gorge themselves upon whatever bloody gristle they can recover from a battlefield. But their appalling gorges will never be able to sate their otherworldly hunger. Whatever flesh they manage to cram down past their necrodermis jaws will invariably seep out through the gaps of their exoskeleton, making it appear that the Flayers are constantly oozing or bleeding. Much of the tough gristle or cartilaginous material will end up getting stuck in the metallic joints of their bodies, which at times makes their movement rather disjointed. Also, as a result of this, when they walk, it has been noted that some observers have heard the sound of these loose bones cracking and splintering under the weight of the living metal, making for a rather horrifying auditory warning to their carrion approach. In the process of feasting, they will soak themselves in the blood of their fallen enemies, coating their frame with the ravaged, decayed tissue which surrounds them, until they stand as naught but gore-soaked machines, gnawing at the tattered bones which will inevitably come to litter the grounds. Aside from unintentionally coating themselves in this bloody detritus, it has been noted that the Flayed Ones will routinely decorate their own bodies with the remains of the dead. They will flense the skin from the flesh of the fallen before cloaking themselves in a grim facade of blood-stained hides of their poor, unfortunate victims. Bones and other necrotic vestiges of life will be taken, stitched, and impaled upon their frames, standing as macabre trophies towards their reverence of death. Because of the thick coats of decayed flesh and old coagulated blood caked upon their bodies, it has been noted that when a group of Flayed Ones approaches a battlefield, that the stench of rotten meat will fill the air as an offensive cloud. It is rather interesting that this virus does not only manifest as mental degradation, but the physical frames of the flayed ones will also begin to change. Their bodies will be twisted into a new, slightly hunched form. And when compared to a typical warrior, it is clear that these victims are incredibly disjointed, and they are a far cry from the ancient dream of physical perfection which once pervaded their venerable species. But perhaps the most striking change to their forms will be from their immense claws. Sprouting out from their hands, it appears that the old fingers which they once possessed have been greatly extended and sharpened to create a series of nightmarish talons, which are easily sharp enough to slice through thick armor, flesh, and bone alike. As a particularly curious point, due to their utter obsession with death, it seems that for the flayed ones, that they may indeed actually worship the very god who damned them. It is said that they see Landugor as their patron lord, and this adoration towards his divine reverence has manifested in a most striking way. There once existed a traitorous chaos knight known as Death's Saber, which would march into battle with hundreds of human skulls and tattered remains having been adorned across its heretical frame. This eventually led to a cadre of flayed ones to see this knight as an avatar to their dead god, and so they would follow it into battle, offering up tithes of blood and gore towards this construct, which they only thought to be a living manifestation of Landugor. Whilst it was the members of the Mainark dynasty who originally slayed the Flayer God, this curse is not contained to only their own ranks. The virus spreads through physical contact between Necrons, and so if there are any who come too close to an afflicted flayed one, then they too are at risk of falling low to this foul plague. Perhaps as a part of the Flayer's plan, the members of the Mainark dynasty were urged to spread themselves across the galaxy before the Great Slumber, where they came to inhabit many different tomb worlds, potentially explaining as to why the curse has manifested itself in so many different dynasties. Quite interestingly, it has been noted that this virus can actually spread into members of other species if they come in close contact with the flayed ones. The most notable case was from a group of Mechanicus tech priests whose own minds became infected with a form of the Flayer virus after they began a series of experiments involving the fallen bodies of a flayed one. This manifested in the group engaging in vile acts of self-mutilation, and it was even said that they were found to be openly worshipping Landugor within their outposts. But regardless of its effect on the mortal species of the galaxy, for the Necrons, the flayed ones are seen as disgusting, tainted outcasts, and so they have been utterly banished from their regular societies whenever they are encountered. All fear the terrible disease, and there is no merit to be gained from succumbing to its foul symptoms. As such, if any Necron is suspected of harboring its infection, then they will either be destroyed or cast out from the dynasty purely as a protective method to keep its contagious properties at bay. For those who are exiled, they always seem to escape to the same location, and this would be of their own pocket universe known as the Flayer Dimension. Here, the flayed ones are free to stalk and wander about in grim silence, where they can peer into our own realm of reality to see any battlefield throughout the galaxy. Once they have found a suitable war zone, they can rip themselves out of unreality to manifest upon the blood-soaked grounds of war, all in their pursuit of finding new vessels of flesh to consume. Because of this ability, even if a Necron Lord wishes to distance themselves from the infected Flayers, he can never truly be free from their presence. When a dynasty goes to war, oftentimes the Flayers will be quick to appear, eager to participate in the battle, simply so that they may pick any flesh clean from the fallen bones of those who died in this conflict. It has been observed that the flayed ones will remain upon the field long after the bulk of the Necron forces have departed, as they will revel in consuming all which they can, before silently skittering back into the pocket dimension, reeking of blood, and being coated in the gruesome trophies which they were able to recover. Some overlords, whilst being revolted by the flayed ones, will acknowledge their usefulness in a campaign, and so they will actually attempt to lure out the fallen Necrons by committing acts of ruthless bloodshed, creating macabre effigies as lures to the flayers. Once the starved beasts have arrived, and the battle is concluded, however, the more sane of Necrons will have no desire to risk becoming infected themselves. Thus, it is not unheard of for the Lords to order their subservient forces to fire upon the flayed ones, executing the disgusting creatures where they stand. Sadly, only the more feral or corrupted of flayers will be susceptible to this, as the more loathsome of creatures will silently slip away into their infernal dimension of blood, where they may rest and feast upon the bloody bounty which they claimed. Far to the galactic east, in a cold and abandoned reach of the cosmos, we will find a most harrowing region known as the Ghoul Stars. There are untold horrors which lurk upon the desolate planets of this zone, including the primal terrors of the Scythor Fiends or Tagoran Blood Reeks. However, there are many more which seem to have been birthed from primordial myths, and no living creature would ever be safe to walk amongst them. But despite these horrors, there is one which stands above all as perhaps the most awful, and it would be none other than the Bone Kingdom of Drazak. Upon a forlorn, forgotten world, bathed in the frigid light of a dying sun, the reviled flayed ones have formed a nightmarish haunt for themselves, and it now exists as one of their primary homes within the stars. Drazak, in its past, used to be inhabited by a vibrant community. However, they have long been reduced to scraps of rotten detritus after the flayed ones descended. They brought the entire biosphere of this world to extinction after hunting down each and every living organism purely to sate their eternal and cursed appetites. The empty, desolate streets of Drazak are now stalked and prowled by the dreadful flayed ones who lurk within its darkest corners, feasting upon whatever disheveled, grisly remains they have stolen from a distant battle. The bones of millions have been left to dry and rot amidst its buildings, having been broken open long ago to reveal what precious marrow could be recovered by the ravenous flayers. Upon this world, there is only one who has remained sane, and it would be the fallen lord named as Valgul. He sits atop a throne of splintered bone, and from here he attempts to control and direct his flayer kin, seeing some semblance of loyalty and responsibility towards keeping them fed. As stated, his own mind has not been corroded by the flayer virus, and so he has retained his sharp sense of lordship, which he utilizes to maintain a form of grim order across the world. The flayers do not follow his directives out of respect or noble allegiance, but rather for the simple reason that he constantly provides them with a treasure trove of flesh, which they may revel in consuming through the eternal night. Every few months, once the kingdom has become devoid of rotten meat to fight over, Valgul will announce a time of bounty, where he will dispatch several fleets of Necron vessels to nearby undefended worlds with the mission of abducting as many poor souls as can be taken. Those aboard the ships will care not for bringing any back alive, and instead they will only descend to the worlds to claim pots of blood and offerings of gore. The myriad planets will be plundered relentlessly until Valgol orders them to return to the Bone Kingdom, where the bountiful troves of flesh will be dropped into the streets, all so that their fallen brothers can emerge from their haunts to feast upon their fleshy loot. It has been noted that some of the more astute or cruel of Necron lords will utilize bloodswarm scarabs upon a battlefield if they wish for more packs of flayed ones to appear. These swarms will embed themselves within the flesh of their victims, from where they will emit a mysterious pulsating signal to the flayer dimension, which will draw out the macabre flayers who sense the presence of fresh and hot blood to consume. It should be noted that the outcasted destroyers, who are often looked down upon by the Necrons themselves, are rather tolerant of the flayed ones. They do not seem to avoid them upon a battlefield, even though they too would likely be susceptible to falling to their tainted curse. But nevertheless, it seems that since the two groups share in their innate desire to kill and destroy all life, that they will not avoid one another, although this would be the extent of their partnership. With all this being said, the flayed ones must always be dealt with swiftly and decisively when encountered. If a pack of vicious flayers manifest themselves upon a battlefield, then they should be eliminated with extreme prejudice, for they seek not only the deaths of all life, but they also wish to desecrate and consume our own bodies. They are a menace which seems to pervade every war zone of the galaxy, and they should be utterly destroyed, lest they endanger the sanctity of all life within the stars. My dearest friends, this now brings us to the end of today's sermon. I do hope that you enjoyed listening to this tale of the Necron Flayed Ones, and I thank each and every one of you for listening to it in its entirety. But for now, I hope you all have a pleasant day, and I must bid you farewell.